These guys were 10, 11, and 12 when I came to Faith Church. Some things have changed just a little bit. Thank you, guys. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, as we continue to understand God's word as he wrote it through Paul, specifically to Timothy and then to us as well. 2 Timothy 2, 14. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins to those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who enables us to hear and understand the truth. Would you focus our attention? We are so easily distracted. We are quick to misunderstand. We are not nearly as quick to figure out how the truth of your word applies to our lives. So, Holy Spirit, work in us. Take this time. Minister your grace in us, through us, around us. For your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to travel with me deep into the lower extremities of the United States of America. L.A., they call it. Lower Alabama. It's in the Bible Belt, maybe just below the belt buckle. And I want you to visit a class with me of freshmen and sophomores in college. They're seated in an ethics class. Their parents attend local churches. They grew up in the church. They attended Sunday school and they attended worship services. And so they have a grounding in terms of what the Word of God is and what it says. I proposed to such class that the day would come, I assumed, when seated across the desk from me would be an individual sharing that they had virtual reality immorality. Nobody involved. It wasn't real. It wasn't a real act with another individual, and so there's nothing wrong with it, right, Carl? And I asked my class, what do you think? And they were basically nodding off. And I said, does anybody really care? They didn't. And sensitive to their nodding off, I said, well, let's change the scenario just a little bit. Let's say it's your spouse who's involved in the virtual reality immorality. Now what do you think? And I won't forget a young lady seated right here in that class. Her name was Sarah. I'm assuming she was in her early 20s. I'm assuming she hadn't been married that long. And I finally had captured their attention, but nothing like I expected came forth from her mouth. For she said, do it with them. And I thought to myself, remember the commercial? This is not your father's Oldsmobile. And that's exactly what went through my mind at that moment. This is a different time. This is a different generation. And so I proceeded to ask that class, with a police officer in the class, no less, I said, how many of you believe there is such a thing as truth right and wrong, a standard for morality, absolute truth. How many of you think that exists? What's the percentage in that Bible Belt community with a bunch of young people, freshmen and sophomores in college? What do you think the percentage of those in that classroom was that believed in such? Maybe half of them. Maybe half of them. And this police officer, he sat just behind Sarah, just a little bit back. He didn't believe there was such a thing as absolute truth. I was waiting for the day when he would pull me over for running a stop sign, and I'd say, well, wait a minute, that's not absolute. It's kind of scary that truth doesn't really matter in our culture, to some at least. Can I tell you that truth matters? It doesn't matter in one sense if the whole world says it doesn't matter. It still matters. So how do we help the culture see that? How do we keep from getting on that sliding board to the point where we end up in the bottom in a pile of mud and we don't believe there's such a thing as absolute truth either? Maybe you're there. Every time we do a baptism, you may recall, when we do an infant baptism, I ask an elder, as representative of the session, do you promise to guard, look after the doctrine, the truth from the Word of God of this church on behalf of the child whom we baptize? How do you do that? This is precious truth that so many in our culture today choose not to believe, choose not to hold in high regard, choose to think that it's not an absolute standard. So what do we do as children of God to help guard that truth? How do we avoid the error? If you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, just flip back a couple of pages and look with me at 1 Timothy 1:3. Paul wrote his first letter some years before 2 Timothy. He wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:3, "As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies." He repeatedly says that to Timothy in 1 Timothy, and he says it again in 2 Timothy, because Paul understood that what's important for you and me to pass along to the next person and the next person and the next generation and the next generation is the truth of the Word of God, period. So how do we guard it? How do we keep ourselves from the error of believing there's no such thing as absolute truth? How do we avoid the error of such men? There are multiple things that he says. Among them are these three. First, he says in verse 14, keep reminding them. Remind is the word that I would use for the first point. How do we uphold the standard of God's truth? How do we keep error from sweeping us away? Remind. It's an ongoing process. Remind them of these things. What things, Paul? Well, go back to verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Verse 11, here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we'll live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we're his, we're his. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful to the truth of his word. He cannot disown himself. Those who have his faith will be his forever. Those who don't, won't. And Paul says, Timothy, keep reminding them. I hope that I never get used to the gospel. I fear that in some moments I already have. Are you used to the gospel? Did you hear the words that we sang together about our God and how awesome He is and what He has done for us? Have you forgotten what Jesus did, leaving eternity with His Father, enjoying what it meant to be God and entering into His very creation? Have you forgotten that step that He took to stoop to humanity? Have you forgotten what He did when He was here, that He lived perfectly in this world? Have you forgotten the agony of the garden, of when he poured out His heart to His daddy? When He asked His daddy, "Daddy, is there some other way? Please don't make me take Your wrath." And He had every right to ask for such. He didn't deserve it. He had done nothing wrong. And yet for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross in obedience to His Father, in complete humility. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten the price He paid for your sin? Have you forgotten the emotionally charged moment as you vicariously peered into that tomb and found no Jesus? Have you forgotten the disciples who were confused and dismayed, who finally saw their Christ again? Have you forgotten what it feels like to be restored, as was Peter, who it really didn't matter if Jesus rose or He didn't. If He didn't, it was all a sham. If He did, I've lost anyway, because as Peter himself, he had denied Christ, and what would Christ have to do with him? Have you forgotten or grown used to the gospel? We need to be reminded. We need to keep reminding, ongoing process of the gospel of Jesus Christ. First point, remind, that will help protect the truth. It will guard against error. It's interesting how it works, that if you teach the gospel of grace, the fear is on the part of some that people will abuse that and they'll sin on that grace might abound. Oh, not if they really understand the gospel, they won't. And that's the desire in constantly being reminded that I won't abuse the gospel. I won't abuse the grace of God, but rather I'll be overwhelmed by such truth, and out of His incredible love for me, I'll desire to be obedient to Him. Remind, keep on reminding them of these things. Second thing that I would tell you to do to guard the truth is to realize where false teaching leads. Realize where this endless chatter of discussing those things that God doesn't tell us and the false teaching or theology that is in direct opposition to what God has to say in His Word. Where does that lead? Well, it's all through 1 Timothy, and it's here again in 2 Timothy. Warn them against quarreling. War of words. It only ruins those who hear. The word is the word from which we get the word catastrophe. It's used one other place in the New Testament, 2 Peter 2:6, where Peter talks of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember that? When God stepped in and said, enough is enough, and He reduced those places to ashes. That was a catastrophe. Now, do you think Paul takes seriously this false teaching that seems to be what Timothy is addressing in Ephesus, it leads to catastrophe. Some of us get the yawns when we start using words like theology and doctrine. The only theology and doctrine that's boring is that which we don't understand. If we rightly understand the truth of the Word of God, the foundational truths of who God is, of all that He has done in history, and how we fit into His plan, that's far from boring. The implications of such are overwhelming. Truth matters. To teach otherwise leads to the catastrophe of those who hear. Verse 16, look at it with me. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. It leads to ungodliness. You want to be ungodly? Teach false doctrine. Teach foolishness. Verse 17, their teaching will spread like gangrene. There's a dispute as to whether or not this was actually gangrene or whether he was talking about cancer itself. Either case, it's a destruction of the body. And what Paul is telling Timothy, if you allow this kind of thing to continue, it will destroy those around. Well, I think God's like this, and I think God's like that. Well, no, I think God's like this. Who cares what we think God is like? What does God say He's like? What has He revealed of Himself in His Word? What does He want us to know about Himself? It's not what I think about God. It's what God says about God that's important. And we need to realize where that false teaching goes. I promise you, you can get it by the boatload in literature, on television, everywhere in our culture today. There are a dime a dozen who would teach whatever you want to hear. There are those who would gladly share with you what they think about God. I want to know what God thinks about God. And the only place I'll ever know what God is truly like is not what I can concoct in my head, because what I can concoct in my head is a picture of God that I will create to serve me. And that's not God. God is here, revealing Himself to us in His Word. I need to realize that anything else about God will lead to ungodliness, catastrophe, and it will spread like gangrene. As I wrestled with this text, it's interesting to think about it. Bad news travels so quickly, doesn't it? And I reflected on that. Just think about the news broadcasts that you hear. Every once in a while, thankfully, someone will interject a story about something that someone has done that is good, encouraging. But I dare say much of our news is about what's bad and wrong, and it seems to just spread like gangrene. False doctrine is very much the same. Verse 18, it even upsets the faith of some, the end of verse 18, turns it upside down. The opposite of growing through faith. So what that tells me is turn it over, and what causes growth or growing through faith is the solid teaching of the Word of God. We're serious about that at Faith Church, because we know that these errors lead to further ungodliness and backwards growth away from faith in God. Realize where false teaching actually leads. It moves people away from God. We need to be reminded, or we need to remind one another, of the truth of God's Word. We need to realize where false theology or teaching goes. It's like these two men in verse 17, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Hymenaeus is talked about back in the first letter some years earlier, 1 Timothy. And Paul says, I turned him over to Satan so that he would learn not to blaspheme. It doesn't sound like he's learned anything. He uses them as an example of this false doctrine, this false teaching. Apparently, they were teaching that the resurrection already happened. Maybe they thought it was some spiritual thing. And there is a sense when we're saved, we're resurrected in Christ. But Paul wants everybody to understand there will be a physical resurrection someday. We will be raised with Christ. It will happen. If you say that it won't, then you must say Christ didn't rise from the dead. And that apparently was a false teaching that was taking place in the culture. And Paul says you need to see where that leads. And finally, the way to guard the truth of God's word, the way to keep ourselves from such error, is to rightly handle God's word. Go back to verse 15. Do your best. Put forth effort. Give it all that you have to present yourself to God as one approved. I want God to be able to say to me, by His grace only and from His strength, I want Him to be able to say, you rightly handled my word. And you say, that's fine, Pastor. You're supposed to do that. So are you. You've been given the truth of the word of God, and you need to be diligent in your study of it. You need to apply yourself to the truth therein. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles, who cuts a straight line with regards to the word of truth. There's sort of a picture here of the bow and arrow, and there's the target, the truth of the word of God. And the target is, I want to shoot straight at it. And this false teaching is like shooting off to the right or the left. And Paul says, Timothy, shoot straight for the word of God. Cut a straight path, a path that takes you straight to the truth of the word of God. Understand it for what it is and cut a straight path that others might follow you. Teach it rightly. Understand it rightly. It would seem to me that in order for you and me to understand the word of God, we must have the help of the Holy Spirit. I don't have what it takes to understand this truth. This is the God of the universe, infinite, eternal God, who has penned through human authors His truth. And do you think my little mind can figure it out? Not a chance. But enter the picture, the Holy Spirit who dwells within me, the author of it. And you and I need to start there. We need to begin with prayer. I don't want to reduce Bible study to a little formula, but when you come to read the Word of God, you'll note that what we typically do is ask God's Spirit to help us understand it. In so doing, I understand and recognize and admit my submission to the truth and my dependence upon His Spirit to grasp what's herein. You need to start with prayer. You need to talk to the Holy Spirit and ask for Him to help you to understand it. He dwells within you. John's gospel tells us that He enables us, He guides us in all truth. In John 16. It's not a complicated message. It's a rather simple one. Here's the truth. You and I are called to guard it, to protect from error. And if we would do that, we need to constantly be reminded. Dads, I always do this, don't I, on Father's Day. You're responsible for your own house. Are you modeling the truth of the Word of God to your children? Are you teaching them the Word of God? Are you protecting the truth? Well, they know the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. They need to feel the gospel through you, Dad. They need that. Now, some of you go, I'm off the hook. I don't have kids, or my kids are grown, or whatever. You're not off the hook. Look around this room. Do you see those children? Oh, come on, Carl. Oh, come on. You're their father spiritually. And you have committed yourself to helping nurture them in God's word, in God's truth. They need to see it in you, dads. They need to see the leadership that God's placed upon you. And they need to see you guarding the truth. Moms, you're not off the hook either. Ladies, you have a responsibility to guard this truth that Paul charged Timothy and us with. Remind them of the gospel. Remind them. Realize where false teaching leads. It's not neutral. Anything that's in contradiction or conflict with the truth of the Word of God is not neutral. It leads to further ungodliness. It spreads like gangrene. It turns people's faith upside down. You need to know that, or you will be way too ho-hum about the truth. And finally, rightly handle the Word of God. You can, by God's Spirit. Some years ago, the 20-somethings went out to the folks, Mike and Judy Folks' house. They live in Quail Valley, and I got directions, and off we went. There is no exit from Quail Valley. There is an entrance because we got in there. There is no exit. We left thinking we knew our way out. Nobody told us that the exits had been removed. And we began to drive. A former youth pastor and his wife chose to follow us. That was their mistake. When we passed the folks' house the second time, and we had been driving for a while, the former youth director bailed out. I wasn't cutting a straight path for him to follow. Fortunately, he realized it before it was too late. I think I put 300 miles on my car that night. Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, cut a straight line to the Word of God. Lay out a path. I don't care how old or young you are. Somebody's following you. Well, I didn't ask them to. Didn't ask you if you asked them to. Young people, can I tell you something? There are teachers a dime a dozen who will fill your minds with garbage. And it doesn't have to be blatant junk. It just has to be a little bit off. And it will lead to further ungodliness, and it'll spread like gangrene. And before you know it, your faith will be turned on its ear. You better know the Word of God. And don't you use the excuse that you're young. Timothy could do the same. And Paul said, don't you do it. You rightly handle the Word of God. You realize where false teaching leads and remind yourself and others of the good news of Jesus Christ. Cut a straight path to the truth of the Word of God. Understand it rightly. Pray with me. Father, your Word is truth. I get frustrated because in our culture that is too easily dismissed. And I want somehow desperately to demonstrate to this world that there is truth, that we don't live in a relativistic, chaotic society without a God who's in control. There is chaos apart from your truth. And yet there is truth. your truth. It is my desire, it is our desire as your bride, as your body, that we would be reminded regularly of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would see false teaching, however innocent it might seem, that we might see false teaching as that which leads us away from you. That which sets in like gangrene and turns our faith on our ears. That which leads to further ungodliness. May it not be true of us, but rather might we, by your help, by your strength, by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, might we, Father, handle rightly the truth of the Word of God because of you, Jesus. Amen.